Good evening. This is Rabbi Mayefsky. This is a, once again, I mean, all the parshas of Devarim come from Moshe, obviously. But we have here, he continues with his lecture. Literally, he's giving them, as I keep on saying, he's telling them things, but he's trying to get through to them. Because even though this is a new generation, a lot of things have begun to unravel, and this makes him very uncomfortable. And we have a problem over here, and it says, well, you're Akef Tishmiu. And once again, he's saying, listen, this is the deal. You've hit rock bottom, and we've had such unfortunate incidences that have brought us to the point we had to wander in the desert for 40 years. Now, God will keep the promise. Well, you're Akef Tishmiu, and Eis HaMishpatim O'Ela, Ushmartem Vasisem O'Sam. Of course, the word Ushmartem is for the Los Asay, Vasisem is for the Asays. And that's what he's telling them, basically, all these things. You're going to have to fall in line. You're going to have to make a commitment. And one would think, well, God promised us to go into the land, so what's the problem? And the answer is, that's absolutely true. God is saying, I promised to let you go into the land. And Moshe is reminding them, God promised to take you into the land. That is incontrovertible. That will happen. The problem is, once you get into the land, you're on your own. If you want success in the land, if you want your crops to grow, if you want to avoid all the illnesses, if you want to be safe, the borders to keep safe, and to avoid any battles that are going to occur after you've conquered the land, and all of these things, you want safety, you want to bring up your children in a nice, safe community, that you're going to have to work for. And this is what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to Ushmartem Vasisem O'Sam. I made the Avos a promise, and I made you a promise to take you out of Egypt and bring you into the land. I'm doing that. No problem. Now comes the test. Once you cross the Yarden, I've completed my mission. I've completed and fulfilled all my obligations that I made to Abraham at the Bris Bein Absarim. I never made any promise beyond that. And to stay in the land and not get kicked out the same way the Canaanim are being kicked out. And that's why he mentions it twice in the Parsha, Ki Berishas HaGoyim Ho'Ela. I'm keeping my promise. And the only reason you haven't really deserved to go into the land, but I made them a promise. And I'm giving you a chance for the simple reason, Ki Berishas HaGoyim Ho'Ela. It says it twice in a couple of psukim. And the reason is, once is to let them know that I'm kicking out the people that are there now, and the second time is to tell them, to remind them that if they don't muster up and reach the level that Bonim Atem LaHashem Elokeichem, you will meet the same fate as they will. And we know after 850 years, Venoshantem, and as we read in last week's parsha, you will end up leaving the land too. We will throw you out as well. And this is a very hard lesson for them, and that's why we have in this parasha, of course, towards the end of the parasha, we have V'ha'yo im Shemoa Tishma'u. It begins the parasha, and it ends the parasha with all of this in the middle. But Moshe is faced with a situation over here, and he's telling them something that's a very interesting factor here. And that is, he's telling them something that I want you to understand, all the things that I've done for you were most of the things that happened, all the nisim and flows that you or your fathers, your grandfathers happened in Mitzrayim, and the 40 years that were in the Midbar eating the mon, Avosecha doesn't mean your fathers in the Midbar. Obviously, your fathers knew they ate the mon. We're talking about Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, which is a very important thing if we think about it. Avraham from the Avos was the only one who had any supernatural occurrences in his life in terms of being thrown into the Kivshon Eish and surviving to bring about that God wanted Avraham to be the harbinger of a new religion. But he knew that to start it with one person is a very difficult task. It takes a long time, as we see other peoples of the world look how long it takes Christianity or the Muslim religion to take root and be attainable by the masses and to grow. And our Kadosh Baruch Hu knows that if they're going to go into the land, then it's going to take generations for them to see something and come to the conclusion that Judaism is the true religion, then that takes too long. And therefore, he realizes that he's going to have to appear to him, to them, for 3 million people all at once, as opposed to all religions who were just gave it over supposedly to one person, spoke to them privately and to one person, whether it's Joseph Smith, whether it's Yashka, whether it's, you know, Muhammad. All of these people began their religion, and it was started with one person. It took sometimes centuries for them to take root. If they're going to go into the land of Israel at this point, it's going to have to happen. There has to be a vision at Har Sinai that everyone simultaneously has the same experience. And God realizes this, and he knows, he's asking them, I need a commitment from you. We can't go further if I don't have a commitment. And I've given you, I showed you all my powers. Before I asked you to do even one mitzvah, I asked you for nothing. All I did was I came down, you were slaves, and I brought about the ten makos to Mitzrayim, Laman Shisio Sosaila Bekirbo. The ten makos were to teach them a lesson, number one, and number two, to show you what my powers are. I split the yam. We had the revelation at Sinai. I gave you the Ten Commandments finally, and you had the temerity. Imagine being in the principal's office and misbehaving. That's in a very minor parable to say the example is such a weak one, but imagine you're sitting at Sinai where you've had the revelation of the Luchos and Moshe coming down with the Luchos, which brings up another problem, and you see them and you built an Egel at the foot of Har Sinai. How can somebody do that? It's literally just thumbing your nose in God's face. Could you imagine the anger? And still in all, Bonim Atem LaShem Elokeichem, I have made you my chosen people. You are my children. And regardless, through thick and thin, I will be by your side and I will never let you go. You will have Tzoris, unfortunately, if you don't listen. But nevertheless, if you will make the commitment, then I will stand by you. And this is a very hard lesson. Because, let's face it, imagine if we had a situation where we see when we have leaders, if we have a voting booth, so to speak, or whatever it is, and we go and somebody misbehaves, we elect a new person. God is there forever. And we have the opportunity to do something for somebody who's done so much for us before we ask them to do anything. Nobody asked them to make the Mitzrayim fall and all, to all these things. Nobody had any inkling of the splitting of the Yam Suf. Nobody had any inkling that they would experience Matan Torah the way they did. They couldn't believe when they beat Amalek. They couldn't believe all the wars that they've had here, and they've come out successful without any losses. It just defies imagination. The realm of reality is impossible. And all I'm asking you is Ma Shem Elokecha, and not to belittle what God asked or Kim Li Ra. Of course I ask you to do that. But there's a problem here that Moshe has to face, which is a tremendous problem. And Moshe is dealing with a situation now that when he repeats the story of Kisisa, and when God told him Lech Raid, and he repeats it to them, there's a underlying message over here that he's trying to impress upon Klal Yisrael. What does it mean when God said to him, Lech Reit Kisheshe Samacha? Of course, Moshe, while he was on Har Sinai, asked for forgiveness for Klal Yisrael before he came down. And God told him everything that was about to happen. But then if that's the case, that God knew that they were worshiping the Egel, why, in fact, we might ask ourselves, why did he let Moshe bring down the Luchos? He would say, leave the Luchos here. It's unnecessary to bring it down. They built an Egel. What's the point of even coming down with the Luchos? But Moshe decided at this point in time, he wants them to see what they could have had. Ksuvim b'yetzbalohim, izeh umizeh ein kisuvim, mishnei evrihem. He wanted them to see, once again, the miracle. Did it impress them? But certainly, but for a moment. But he smashed the luchos. It's an incredible thought that even after he knew he was coming down to face what he saw, and he still brought the luchos down. One might ask, what was the point? But sometimes we need to see what we lose so that we know what we could have had had we done better. Perhaps it would make that impression. But again, I keep harping on one thing. What was behind the thought process? What is really God saying to Moshe, Lech Reid, Kishi Sheis Amecha? Very simple. The rabbi without a congregation has no shtela. What's the point of him being a rabbi? He's going to sit and learn by himself. He has no one to talk to. If I were talking tonight and then I knew for a fact that nobody was going to listen to that, I could take notes and I could write things down and I could talk to myself in the wall. And what's the point of talking online? I need to know that there are people listening. Moshe, God is telling Moshe, you're here on Har Sinai. You spent 40 days learning the Torah. You know what? Lech Reid. We don't need you anymore. You've been excess. They are worshiping an idol down below. And the job that I gave you was to bring them the Torah so that they could fulfill 613 mitzvos. And unfortunately, if they are worshiping an idol, we don't need you anymore. You don't need the Nevuah. So what are you doing here on Har Sinai? You could leave. You serve no purpose anymore. We don't need you. And that's what Moshe is praying for. Please give us another chance, because Moshe is going to lose his position. If he has no people to follow the word of God, then there's no purpose to Moshe's. He has no tafkid. He has no shlichus anymore. His job is over. And God says, Lech Reid, you're fired. You don't need to be here anymore. I have no use for you. And therefore, if Moshe says at this point, then Mecheni no. And Moshe is trying to impress them, this is what I have to face and this is what I have to do. And it's only through my prayers. And when we mentioned last week, Be'eschanan al Hashem, and Moshe is telling them the whole story that I had to pray for 40 days, sometimes the rabbi himself needs a mishabera. I prayed for you time and time again. I prayed the first time, and I prayed the second time, and I interceded for you time and again. I wanted to go into Eretz Israel. It's because of your missteps, whether it's my fault or not, that somehow I didn't get through to you, or God didn't get through to you, but the fact remains, I'm not going in. And perhaps had you, as Klal Yisrael, got down and prayed to God, please let Moshe come with us, maybe God would have relented. But when somebody prays for himself and we have something that we're asked to give, to say something, to ask God and then for somebody else's refuah, sometimes it helps, or we hope that God listens if somebody else is asking to cure him. And Moshe's complaining, did you ever pray for me? And, of course, that didn't happen. They always wanted something more. What have you done for me lately? It was never, what can we do for you? And that is what Moshe is trying to impress upon them. And this is a sad state of affairs. But what is the positive sign that we have over here? God said, Ki am kadosh l'Hashem Elokecha. We've known all along that if God wants the world to continue, God has made us the chosen people. And since we are the chosen people and we are the children of God and he gave us the mission to be the light unto the world, what Moshe is telling them, you know why? Ki b'rishas ha'goyim ho'ele, Hashem o'risham miponecha. I am chasing them out, but I'm putting you in. You know why? Because with all the things that you've done wrong, you're still the best of what the world has to offer. there are still no other people as good as the worst Jew. The worst person amongst them is better than the Goyim. And I'm kicking them out for no other reason than you're still better than what's there now. I'm giving you the next opportunity, but please don't disappoint me, because if I'm holding you up as the Am HaNivchar, then if you disappoint me, there is no purpose to the world. If I want the world to continue, I need Jews to be the light unto the world. I'm still hoping that Kal Yisrael, he gave us that responsibility to be the light unto the other nations. And Baruch Hashem, we see things happening around the world today, that things have, in some ways, while we still experience anti-Semitism, there is so much tzedakah and so much good work being done in Israel and America. We see all the times when new organizations go up to benefit other people. There are so many people that do chasadim, and we do chasadim more than anybody else. And so God says, you know what, in light of that, v'yochalto es kol ha'amim, what in the world is that thing is? That the eventuality, because of what we have been inspired by our Avos, by inspired by Moshe, v'yochalto es kol ha'amim, we are the best that the world has to offer. And because of that, we will be better. We will be able to outdistance, even though we are such a kiatem hama'at mikol ha'amim, we are so few in number, but we rise above. We will be able to literally devour all the nations of the world. And we see that what Israel has done for the world, what Judaism has, whether it's in Nobel Prizes, whether it's in inventions that we have, all the prosperity that is going on in Israel, with all the turmoil, we continue to inspire ourselves with all the chassadim, whatever it is, things that seem so small. We take hatzolah so much for granted. We take, you know, misaskim so much for granted. But the truth of the matter is, there is one organization after the other that is not just for the betterment of our own people, but we do so much chassadim for the rest of the world. And that is what God wants to see. Perhaps, and we hope, that in the schus of all our good things that we accomplish in this world, it will be a safer place, and we will have that inspiration to give to the rest of the world and be able to pay it forward from one generation. May we pass on our values to the people who listen. If there's nobody listening, I'm talking to the wall. And so Moshe is telling you, please pay attention, or else I will be accessed. And God is praying to Klal Yisrael, if the world is to continue, I need you to own up to your responsibility. And if we want to be Zocha, to be Yochalto es Kolo Amim, to be the leader of the world, we have that capability. Don't let me down. May we have a good week, and may we be Zocha to accomplish all the things that God expects of us. Thank you, and have a good night.